Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I'm your host, Rich Owens, and very much like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, somebody's been sitting in my chair. I wasn't here last week, but there were some people were, and two-thirds of the people that were here last week are here this week as well. We have the United City FM Kev, and we have Jebaru, the alarmingly competent at hosting a podcast, Jebaru.
He's been here before, you know.
I know. Weird, isn't it? Weird. Honestly, for his first ever attempt at it, I think he did very, very well. Can't help but notice, though, fellas, we're missing Callum.
We sent Callum to come find you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awkward.
We sent him out at the back end of last week's pod, ultimately, because we were a bit concerned about where you might be. So we don't know where he is now.
Yeah. Awkward. It's a bit of, you know, it's like that story, you know, chicken falls in the well, all the people go into the well to save the chicken, they all go missing in the well, and then the chicken just comes out absolutely fine. Very similar. What I'm trying to imply here is that Callum might be trapped in a well. We don't know. But I'm back though. I've survived. I survived a lovely holiday with my family, and survived is the if you've got small children and you've ever been away for a week with them, you will know solidarity. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I'm back. I'm excited to have a chat with you boys, because I've missed you terribly. How have we been, by the way, lads? Kev, how have you been? How's your week been, pal?
Let's look in the right direction first for all the audio listeners. I'm doing great, thank you. I'm doing really good. It's been a fun week of streams. We've been doing some playoff stuff, which we'll talk a little bit more about next week, I would suggest. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm very, very happy to be here. It's very lovely to have you back. And let's do a podcast. Yay!
Let's absolutely do. Let's make some entertainment, shall we? Jeb, how are you this morning, my friend?
Not so bad. We'll come a bit later than I anticipated, but we're there now. Yeah, we're all right. I'm not sure what's going on with my lighting. It was very orange for a while, so I'm just trying to fix that. I mean, it's daylight outside, apparently, but there we are. But yeah, we're okay. Well, obviously sat in your chair. It's very messy. Like, did you constantly eat pastries on it? Like, there just seem to be crumbs everywhere.
I am constantly eating Greg's sausage, bean and cheese melts. That's what I do. It's who I am as a person. I cannot stop. Literally, I cannot stop. I have got a problem. Genuinely, sausage, bean and cheese melts from Greg's. If you're listening, Greg's,
I was going to say sponsorship deal.
Put me up. I will scream from the high heavens about how good your beany, cheesy, sausagey products are. The rest of them, I've got no time for. But those specific ones, let's have a conversation, Greg's. Daddy's hungry. Let's put it that way. Daddy's starving.
Should he just say daddy's hungry?
Daddy's hungry. Hey, look, for the benefit of the audio listeners, look at my t-shirt. It even says I'm dad AF. Look at that. There you go. What a disgusting concept that is. Right. Keep it PG, fellas. When I upload this to Spotify, it says, is this podcast suitable for all audiences this week? And I have to say no. Yeah. Rich has done language.
And I think for the first time ever, we know the title of the podcast before you release it, whichever one. But yeah, it's been we know the title, so this is exciting,
isn't it? Though, isn't it? It's not going to come as a surprise to anybody. There's not going to be an exasperated when the tweet goes out.
There still might be.
Oh, there absolutely is.
Has Pescara just fallen off?
I was going to say something fell.
This is a good
omen.
Yeah, no.
Oh no.
There's a transition there, Rich. Use it. There's a transition. Go on, get it.
It's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine. Isn't it good though? It's like he's underarmed it to me, hasn't he? Because in reality, the Pescara shirt has fallen down behind Jeb. But I'm more interested, Jeb, about what's been going on with the digital Pescara in your FM23 save.
Smooth.
It was all right, wasn't it? It was all right, you know.
Quite smooth.
Nobody would have noticed. I think smooth-ish. We covered it very well.
Smooth, yeah.
Really I think smooth. We did. I think we
did. Yeah, smooth like the ocean. never made any sense that I heard.
Choppy.
Yeah, but there we are. Right, so Pescara. I don't know where we left it. Like, we're six seasons into Serie A now, I think. So go all the way back. One Serie A, Atacanta, nice and easy. We spent two seasons in Serie A. I don't know if it is Bay. I'm going to call it Bay. Everyone loves Bay, don't they? I don't know. Is it still a thing? Who knows? And then we're in Serie A. We're up to there. So we just finished the sixth season, but I think we left it. I just signed Pinamonti. That's what it was. So 1.4 million for Pinamonti because I needed someone to score goals. I had Cunahan, Spacito. They were good, but they just couldn't put it in the back of their net. So they were. I've done quite a lot of rotations. I had the three up front. I had somebody on the left, the right. Obviously, inside forwards, and then we had an advance forward. I brought Pinamonti in and went, "You're just going to be a poacher." And he got, and I put in I said, "We'll give you 1.4 million. I'll give you 250K if he scores 10 goals." And Pinamonti was very weird in that he either scored hat tricks or got 6.1. And that was his form. So he scored his 10 goals within 2 months of being in the club, and we'd done all right. And we finished ninth that season. Mm-hmm. We went to the next season and we picked up a couple of nice players in Salinas, who was at Spurs. So he's a regen, new gen. He's a new gen that we picked up from Spurs. Really pacey winger, can play up front as well. Fumic from Lazio is a attacking midfielder. He's from Chile. Salinas is also from Argentina. So we brought him in. And then we found this wonder kid in Uruguay called Enzo Martinez, and he is unbelievable. Like, he has all the dribbling, all the technique, can finish, can do long shots, can pass the ball, can do everything. We got him for 1 million.
Nice.
I know, it's great. It's brilliant.
Very nice.
Very nice. Except Salinas is from Argentina, Fumic is from Chile, and Martinez is from Uruguay.
Ah.
In Italy, you're allowed to sign two non-EU players a season. So you can sell somebody and replace them, and you can buy one just outright in the season. Martinez was the third person through the door, and I couldn't register him. So I had, you even click on the club info screen, here's your best player, Enzo Martinez is your best player. You can't play him. Like, he literally says he's the key player for the team. I somehow managed to convince Sporting Lisbon to pay me, I think it was like, 400 grand a month, and then all of his wages to loan him. And then they just sent him back in January to me. It was like, oh, God's sake, upset him some more again. Newcastle came in for him. He's like, no, I don't want to go to Newcastle. I want to play here. I was like, you can't play here. I'm sorry about this. Just sit around. So we unfortunately had to put up with that. We also made some other big signings. Marcato is an Italian defender who went from Parma to Man City. Man City played him for a bit and went, we don't want him anymore. So we brought him back. He became club captain. He's still 21. So we're still going with that quite young youth setup in the team. We had a really good start to the season. And then I think we hit December. And between December and January, I think we got one win. And that was it. We just couldn't buy one. And I think towards the end of January, we started to pick up form. We changed things around and moved things around. And then deadline day came around. And Capriel, our keeper, I think it was Monza came in and they went, here's 12 million for Capriel. Do you want it? And I went, yeah, go on then. I'll go find another keeper. I've got Tofiki I looked at it the other day. He's 22 and he has 73 caps for Morocco already. He's going to break world records. He was playing in the African Cup of Nations, which I'd not realized as I sold Capriel on. Tried to buy another keeper. The deadline day expired. I had no goalkeeper for the start of February. We found a 16-year-old in the under-18s. He had to play in net for 2 games. First game was against Juventus. He kept a clean sheet. So he's like a hero. And we won 1-0. Then Tofiki came back, and that was fine. And we plodded along. We were flirting with Champions League, and that was the real frustration. We were doing really well in November. We were doing pushing quite high, kept on pushing back forward. We were still pushing Europe like towards the end of the season. We just kept on getting disastrous results. We can't break. I keep saying it's big six. There's actually 7 when you work it out. So you've got AC Milan, Inter. No need to list them, damn it. Juventus, Lazio, Roma. And there's another one that I'm forgetting of, and it's probably really big.
Napoli,
there you are. Yeah, so they're all in there. And yeah, we kept on picking up a couple of results on them, and then we get beat 4-0 by one of them. I think Napoli are probably the hardest one because they've still got, this is 2032 by the way, and they still have Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen up front.
Wow.
And they still have Kim Min-jae still at the back, and then they keep adding to it with Ruben Neves and various other people in there. But they were like 11th in the league. They had a disastrous season. So we got to the final day and we were 7th, and we need to win to get into the Europa League place or stay in that Conference League place that was there or push up to get there. We got to the final day, looked at the fixtures, like, oh, Genoa have already completed their season. They've qualified. Oh, what a pointless game this is going to be. We can get into the Conference League. We've got this Conference League place. Won our last game. Like, there we go. There's our Conference League place. Look to the table again. Oh, Udinese haven't played their last game. If they win, they go above us. And they did. They played AC Milan and they beat AC Milan the last game, their last game of the season. So we didn't qualify for anything. So it's disappointing. Tried our hardest, tried to get there. And then the Europa Conference League final came around. I had no interest in it whatsoever. But suddenly had a massive interest in it because Genoa won it. So they qualified for the Europa League through winning the Conference League. We finished 8th. So by default, we get into the Conference League. Default.
The two sweetest words in the English language.
Exactly. That's it.
Euro road trip.
Woo-hoo. Euro road trip. So what I don't already said on that is like, if we don't make Europe, Pescara is over. And it was nearly ready just to close down the save. I think it was like the 29th of May or something like that. So the season had well finished by then. So we were back in. I was like, cool. Wonder what type of budget they're going to give me for getting into Europe.
They gave me big.
Yeah, definitely. They gave me 1.1 million. Oh, no. Not wage budget. That's just 1.1 million. That was my transfer budget. It's like, great. This is going to be fun. So the one thing is, we have this brand new wonder kid coming called Enzo Martinez. Apparently, he's just been sat around in Italy for a year, just going, I'm really good at football. Anybody want me? No? Okay, never mind. So he was available. Graham Cunahan, who was the Irish thingy, Marseille came in for them. They went, oh, we've got 40 million. Do you want that? I was like, yep, go. Just get rid of him. He's gone. The fans got a bit annoyed. They really liked him. I was like, I was all right about him. We picked up in traditional Pescara, old man comes good. Rafinha, we picked up, 34 years old. He'd been at Barcelona, so we picked him up on a free. We picked up Fabian. He was 35. He hardly played, so it wasn't amazing. We picked up a Greek wonder kid called Skordos, who is another centre-back, and he's 6'3", strong. Do you remember Krigiakos? Remember the guy who's basically an extra in 300? He played for Liverpool for a couple of seasons.
Yes, and he was
huge, massive beard. Basically looked like me if I'd been to the gym. And was more intimidating. That's basically what Skordos is, except he's 18 years old and he does the same. So we picked them up and we started the season off really well again in the Champions League places, pushing on. Form started to fall off again. Enzo Martinez was really good. Salinas was starting to bang them in. And we just kept on yo-yoing almost. So we kept on going, all right, get some big wins, then we get a big loss, big win, big loss. And it just horrible, really, more than anything else. January came round. We'd spent a bit of money on some other players coming in. I can't remember off the top of my head. They've obviously made big impressions. we saw Spacito was the person who we picked up to replace El Armani, who is now the third best player in the world, who went to Bayern Munich. He was always going to be amazing. Spacito we brought in, and then Porto came in and they bid 31 million for him. So, yep, take him. And I think he get 10 million when he plays 50 appearances for him. So he was gone. Like, there we go. Right. We need to replace him. So we took a little trip into France. We found a guy called Raphael Chambon, and he's a striker. So Pinamonti kind of completely fallen off. And I think he had a 50 appearance. I had to pay like another million. I was like, he'd sat on 49 appearances for the rest of the season until he had to move off. I think he went over to one of the Moscow clubs. But yeah, Chambon, we had a look at. He has 17 finishing, 12 composure. I signed him. The board went, what have you signed this guy for? That's far too much for 17 and a half million. Fans were just like, nope, don't like him. Can't stand him. This guy's rubbish. So he signs at the end of January, comes in, and we're in the Conference League. Let's go through that. We went through the path to the playoffs phase, conference, elite, road to the champions pathway. We did that.
Have
we just transitioned into PvP?
I've no idea. It's just a really complicated name.
So silly, isn't it?
After the Conference League playoff eliminator thing, we beat Sunderland in that. We
Championship got to edition to
yeah, championship. got to the league stage, we actually looked at who was in there. We're just like, we could win this. This is really easy. Southampton were the biggest team that were in there. We beat them 2-0. They didn't even have a shot against us. Betis got knocked out by some Romanian club in the Champions Pathway after the Conference League roads to, you know, all those things, all in. Yeah, so we were just like, we can win this. This should be quite easy. We won the league phase. We lost to a Romanian club 1-0. I think it was a different one, actually, but we lost to them. It was unexpected. Other than that, we won 5 games quite comfortably. Went through the last 16, Legia Warsaw, quite easy. Quarterfinals against Brøndby, who we already owned the striker that they were trying to play against us because we picked him up for 6 million. And this Chambon came in, and in the league, he got 15 goals in 16 appearances. And in the Champions League, in the Conference League, not Champions League, calm down. Conference League. I don't know. I don't want to leave the Conference League because the Conference League does have the best theme in the entire world. It's like I said, it's like Seth Rollins or Finn Balor. Like, it's one of those themes that just catches on every single time. So we got a load of goals in there. We got to the semi-final. Semi-final was against, can't remember the top head, but we won anyway, and we get Southampton in the final for there. Meanwhile, in the league, we're just steadily just bumbling around. We're picking up. We got San Siro against AC Milan. We win 2-0, because, you know, things. And then we go to San Siro again, play Inter Milan, and lose 4-0. So it's
other things.
Yeah, exactly, other things. The issue that I've got, though, is Scordos, Marcato, Martinez, Salinas, every single one of them is jaded. I need a rest. Don't want to play anymore. And it just kept on happening. And like, how many times I had to rotate them in and out of the squad? We kept on getting injury crises as well. So there's one stage where we had Renosha DiBenedetto, our two midfielders, Salinas, Martinez, Scordos, Marcato. They all got injured at the same time. I was just rotating in and out these awful backup players that I've got, or subpar backup players we've got. And the league form fell off again, and we plodded along, and we finished ninth. So we're consistent, I have to say that. So we finished 6 seasons, 10th, 9th, 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 8th, 9th. So we're consistent on that side of it. We got to the final. Mm. Our previous 2 games were against Monza and Salernitana. There you go. I think I said it right. Where the I and the N and the end bit, I always end up getting wrong. We lost 4-0 to Monza, and we lost 5-3 to Salernitana. We'd rotated the teams a little bit, but it wasn't that heavy. Tofiki just kept on coming up with 5.9s. Like, there was one stage in the season where he got, his form was 6.1, a 6, a 5.7, a 5.9, a 5.9, and he got angry at me when I criticised his form. So I bought in the backup keeper for a game in the middle of that. He came in and he got a 5.6. Like, I think that's the lowest rating I've seen on FM. And he got angry when I fined him for poor performance. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, so I was just like, great. I've brought that subkeeper in about 3 times and he's not got above a 6. And he looks really good and I can't understand it. But anyway, we get to the Europa Conference League final. We're live on stream. Did it last night just so we can get this narrative. We get Southampton in the final. We are in terrible form. We have our full squad. In 4 minutes, Chambon scored. 1-0 up. 20 minutes gone. 2-0 up. It's all going beautifully. And then we concede to, I think it's Kaká Venda. I think that's what his name is. He's got 12 goals already in the Conference League. And he scores against us. And then he goes through against us. And our right back, Rico Lewis, tackles him. And Kaká Venda doesn't like that, so he just kicks him. Kaká Venda got sent off. Southampton are down to 10 men. It's 2-1.
That is not the way I thought that was going to go.
Yeah, the game continues on, and Chambon gets another, and then Will Thomas scores a cracker, and we're just partying for the rest of the stream. It's great. Yep, 4-1. We win the Europa Conference League.
Nice.
First ever European competition for Pescara. We win it first time out. It's amazing. So there we are, into the Europa League. And yeah, I'm really excited, looking forward to it. And then we get the transfer budget for the next season, 550K. And they reduce the wage budget by 125,000. Because you know, that makes sense. It does actually make sense, because you actually look at the club, the 25 million in debt now. But still, it's one of those frustrating things. You do all this hard work. I've sold all these players. Like, I've not actually spent hideous amounts in the transfer market to bring in new players, and we've got nothing left. So we go into the next season. Currently, Tufiki, Marcato, Scordos, Martinez, Salinas, Chambon all have lovely wanted signs next to them. I think Chambon's the only one who doesn't have a release clause with a Champions League club. Martinez is worryingly got a £29 million release clause for a Champions League club to come into him. Much like El Amani, we lost him on far too cheaply, and I think it might happen with Martinez. Although he did come to me and goes, I want to move to a bigger club. But I was like, okay, does money talk? And for the first time ever, he went, yes, it does. I was like, crap, what are we doing this? What are we doing in this situation?
Well, we haven't got any money, but I'm glad it talks.
Yeah, no, nobody ever says yes to this. How dare you?
Yeah. You have called my bluff, super.
So he's just like, I want £115,000 a week. And I went, I don't have that. How about something else? I want £110,000 a week. I don't have that. It's like, it did read quite nicely. It's like, you're absolutely kidding me. You're killing me. 105,000 a week. That's all I can accept. I was like, fine, I'll do it. I was like, did that click there? I was like, yeah, this is good. Cool. I can sign him up. Enter contract negotiations. Enzo Martinez does not want to negotiate you a club because he wants to leave to a bigger club. So shout out to Sports Interactive. Sports Interactive, please connect those two dots that are missing there. So when he says, yes, I want 105,000 pounds a week, then put the contract negotiations. Yes, that should happen. That's all I'll say. So that's where we are. European trophy. I think that's actually my first European trophy in about 5 years of FM as well. Like, because I've done lower league stuff, or I've done just not going to Europe, I guess, or not done very well. So there we are. So Europa League next season. Will I have any players left? I guess my money's going to come from all these transfers that I'm going to have to get rid of, and we're going to have to recycle on the Wonder Kids again. Rafinha's retired. He had an all right season. He got 8 goals and a few assists as well. So
pretty good.
Bit of a shame. But Chambon, like I said, he's still not accepted by the fans. Like, the fans are still just like, yeah, that's a B- signing for us. And I was like, he scored 18 goals in like 20 games. Like, how can you not love somebody who scores goals? But there we are. So that's where Pescara is.
Oh, well, wow. It sounds like it's, I mean, first and foremost, congratulations. You've won a European trophy at the first time of asking, which is definitely more than I've managed this year. So that in and of itself is incredible. I've got a horrible feeling we're going to be sat here in a few weeks' time, and we'll be like, so Jeb, how's Pescara going? And it's, well, remember all those players that had wanted signs next to their names? They've all gone. But it's when your star player leaves and you're like, well, you know, they've got £30 million as a release clause. It is what it is. We can reinvest and we can use that to rebuild. We'll find somebody. And then it's when the deal gets accepted and there's that horrible little line of text. And it's like, oh yeah, the board have decided that you'll be allocated £3 million of transfer budget.
I think we are 40% as well because the debt's that bad.
Yeah.
I think there was one, actually, I think it was yourself, Rich, that came into my stream that I joked every single time I've talked about Pescara, that we have a parent club in Roma. And then I think I was chatting about it with Richard. We were looking at it. It was like, oh, look, I can just cancel that link because I've joked about it for 6 seasons. I could have canceled that seasons ago. I could have stopped that. You think we would have stopped it by going into the same league as them, but there we are. And beating them quite often. But yeah.
No, that hasn't stopped. I can give you a really, really detailed explanation as to why that didn't happen automatically, Jeb. Because Italy. That's all you need to know.
Fair.
Just because Serie A. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. There are two people on this podcast currently managing in Serie A, and sympathy isn't the right word, but it's not the easiest league in the world to manage in. There are rules, there are regulations, there's all sorts of nonsense going on there. So, but I'm delighted for you. You've won a European trophy, and I think it's just onwards and upwards from here. I think up the fish.
I think what we said about, like, there's a big 6 or 7 in Italy, but they are massive. They are huge. And each one of them just rotates around and wins a title each season, I've noticed. Like, it doesn't change. And they don't get any smaller. And they seem to just swallow up players and they swallow up trophies and things like that. It probably is the toughest league in FM at the moment. I think, like, the Liverpool, Man City dominate the Premier League, Real Madrid, Barcelona dominate the La Liga, but it always just seems to be, actually Arsenal as well, have come through a little bit on in my save, but yeah, it's just scary like how big those teams are, and they just keep on getting bigger and the rest just kind of just fall in line behind them.
Yeah, it's there's never a consistent winner in Serie A. I've not seen any of my saves this year either. You know, it feels like a dice roll. It's like, and the winners of the league this year are going to be Napoli. And that's just how they do it. And then next year it's going to be somebody else. Next year it's going to be somebody else. So breaking into that, you know, it's you are right. It's one of the hardest things to do in FM this year. But you don't need to, because you're just going to keep winning in Europe. And that's all that matters.
Has anybody got a six-sided all Lazio dice that I could borrow?
Exactly. If you go to your nearest kind of, you know, card and game shop, and just it's like a D&D dice. It's just lots of pictures of the Lazio badge. Just pick up one of those and give it a roll and just see what happens.
So, Jeb, you're going to be fine. So my question, Jeb, is when you made that decision a little while ago that if you didn't qualify for Europe, it meant you were going to basically close the save. Are you basically now recommitted and reconnected, and you're going full throttle whatever happens, or is there now another point where you're going to ultimately decide, is this the point where we stop? What's your thought?
I've been nominated for Manager of the Year in Serie A 5 times. I noticed this the other day when I was just looking, normally when you look at your profile. I've been approached by 0 clubs when they, like, so I think I am kind of stuck with Pescara. I might have a reputation and stuff in the league, but it's obviously not big enough to go with, like, Juventus and Inter both got rid of the managers at the end of the season. Nothing came in for me, so I could be tempted by a bigger club, but I've seen from other people that are sat above me that sometimes a bigger club, the grass isn't greener on the other side. Grass might be more frustrating on the other side. I don't know.
Sometimes it's bright orange for random reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on fire, Jeb. It's on fire.
So, yeah, and I think, I don't know, it's one of those, I've had to activate a lot more leagues in this save as well, because I've started to notice that a lot of the leagues are just dropping off. A lot of them are just now not even producing new gens. It's just all grayed out players. So I've started to activate them. So hopefully it'll just bring the ecosystem up a little bit, so that I think there's now 100,000 players should be in my database, which will make things a bit more interesting. Maybe we go on a little bit of European adventure somewhere else, but I'm going to try out the Europa League. Definitely I'll stick out for this season, and then we shall see from there. I don't know how much longer, like, don't know how many times I've been into that boardroom. Can we just have a new stadium? We are selling out every single week. We are the, like, if you look at the percentages, we are like third of the percentages of stadium fill outs, and you're still not building. Was like, oh, we haven't got enough fans. I was like, well, if you sell them out, you don't even, like, even just build a 30,000 seat stadium, 20,000 is not enough. We'll get more commercial revenue, get more sponsors, and all those things will happen because we have a bigger stadium. But I understand they haven't got the money. We've had a couple of takeover threats, but it's not happened. I think that a sugar daddy would be lovely.
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Is that in the context of the save, or just in
just general? In life, yeah.
Just in life, yeah. It'd make life so much easier, wouldn't it? Make life so much more straightforward. I think I've got a feeling this season, Europa League football, I think you're going to get that message. It's going to pop up that, oh, rumoured takeover. Oh, and then it happens, and then you get a transfer budget of over 50p and you're loving life again. It's all going to be fine. I mean, I've got to say kudos to you. I mean, bearing in mind, this was a save that was, if you hark back to the beginning of this year's podcast, this version of podcast, this was a save that was chosen for you by the listeners.
Yep.
So, It's all your fault. You did this. You specifically, it was you made it, but you did this to him. Look at him. Look at his little face. You did this. It's a lovely face. It's a good face. But I've got a good feeling. And sometimes when I say that, I'm right. So we'll see. We'll see, shall we? On the subject of being right, We've had a little think here at podcast, and we talk quite a lot about virtual football. We talk about Football Manager. We talk a big game, but I thought it'd be apt, given that at the time of recording, this season's Premier League kicked off in real life last night. Manchester City played Burnley in the opening fixture of the season. Other leagues are available and have already kicked off. But we thought, on the subject of being right, we should see how right we actually are in terms of real-life football. We thought we should test our IRL ball knowledge. That's what the kids say, ball knowledge. What I've asked the fellas to do this week is we've done a bit of homework. We're going to do some Premier League predictions. We haven't done this before, so we're breaking new ground. Look at us. I don't think this has ever been done on a podcast or in any context before.
No,
so
I haven't I'm pretty heard sure. three podcasts this week. We're all doing the same sort of thing. Not at all.
No, I'm pretty sure we're the first ones to do it. First ones to do it. Yeah, we're absolutely fine. Weird they did it on Diary of a CEO, if I'm honest with you. Didn't see that one coming. Seemed like it came a little bit from left field, but there we are. What I've asked the fellas for this week is we're going to keep it fairly simple, the winners of the Premier League and subsequent other teams, the top four. I've asked for the three teams that they think are going to be relegated, a golden boot winner, and the first manager to lose their job this season. Bless him, he's out looking for... I have received some correspondence. While we've been recording, we've received correspondence from our missing colleague, Callum. It just says, help, I'm trapped in a well, please help me. And then it just stops. But then he comes back and he's also sent us some predictions in, which is very, very kind of him. So we'll read Callum's out as well for consistency. And then what happens is as the season goes on, the more right or wrong we are, the more we can laugh at each other, because that's essentially how these things work. We might as well start at the top end. We'll go for our top fours. Doesn't necessarily have to be in a specific order if you don't want to give them, but if you do, that's absolutely fine. Kev,
yes,
we'll start with you, my friend. So looking at the landscape of the Premier League, mm-hmm. in about 8 months' time, when the league is over, who do you see occupying those top four positions in the Premier League table?
Right. Okay. So I think we're going to have a few that kind of match up between us. And it might not come as a huge surprise to everybody for me to suggest that I think Man City might win the Premier League. It's possible. I know that it's, out there a little bit, but it's what I'm thinking might possibly happen. So I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think Man City will win the Premier League this season. I think because they were clear of everybody last year, both Man City and Arsenal, I think we'll probably just have a slight advantage going into this season over a couple of other clubs that may have improved a little bit in the summer. We'll see. So I'm still going to put Arsenal in second place. But to be totally honest, as a fan of one of the other sort of typical top six teams in the Premier League, all I really want this season more than anything is that gap to get smaller and have three, four clubs that are within a shout of it in come like March time, for example. That's what I really, really want more than anything, because I still think Man City will win it. Man City, Arsenal. I'm going United. I am a United fan. I don't think it's particularly biased. I think that, I think we've improved in the summer. I think Mason Mount is an improvement on McFred, for example, I believe. I think we've got a better goalkeeper for what Ten Hag wants to do. We've got a very young, unproven goal scorer, striker in Rasmus Højlund, but we needed somebody. We need a different centre point in our strike force, etc. So, and we've got that for when he's fit and healthy and able to play. So I think we're improving. I think there's a couple more that might come in and a couple more to go out. So I'm putting us in third. I just want that gap smaller. That's all I'm, from United's perspective, I think if we get third and we reduce the gap, I'll be relatively happy with that this season. And my fourth one is a little bit interesting in the sense that I'm going on the potential of what they still might do in the transfer window, because I think if it starts now and they don't do anything further, they might not get this high. But I'm going back for Liverpool. I think they had a little bit of a poor season last season. They had a bit of a midfield rejig they needed to do from a lot of people's perspective. I think they've lost some key leaders and players in that central midfield. McAllister has come in. There's the conversation about Casado at the moment. I've kind of based on the thought that if they were to get somebody like Casado, if not him, in, I think they're a decent enough squad. They underperformed last season, so I'm putting them in the top four as well. It's not the most out there top four, but actually, just as an aside, my other prediction, because I did 1 through 20 on my most recent streams, in fifth place, I think it might be Villa this season. I really rate them. I think they've got a really excellent squad. So that's my slightly random pick, but that's my top four.
I like that. You know, the one that really interests me there is the Villa pick. Because they've had a really good transfer window, I think, Aston Villa. It sounds like a really, really daft one. It feels like Villa's window has been very FM. Like, Yuri Tielemans on a free transfer. Like, wonderful, wonderful signing. Diaby as well from Leverkusen. Like, really, really, really good signing. They're collecting these really, really good players from around Europe.
Pau Torres.
What a signing Pau Torres is as well. Like, they've collected really eclectic like mix of players.
Yeah, the rumor at the minute is Zaniolo as well from Galatasaray.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you couldn't have a more FM player than Zaniolo, I think.
It's all Unai Emery, though, isn't it, ultimately? Yeah. I mean, we saw what Steven Gerrard couldn't get out of a pretty decent similar squad. And Unai Emery came in last season and just looked a completely different beast. And I think he's got a really great squad. He must have walked in there thinking, what have I walked into? What have I stumbled across here? Because this is really decent. And I think they're going to do well.
They've also got Diego Carlos coming back, who would play all last season because of his injury. I mean, that's almost a new sign of them as well.
Yeah. So potentially, if Liverpool don't improve their midfield, like I think they probably will in the next couple of weeks, I might consider Villa to be that much of a surprise to get in the top four, but I still think Liverpool will spend somewhere in their £100 million to get one or two players into that central midfield and look better than they have done. So that's my thought.
I like your thought process there, Kev. Jeb, what about you, pal? Where do you see it going in terms of top four?
Top four, City, obvious. I mean, they've lost a couple of players, but put Guardiola in just as a left centre back, just because he can, and that's scary more than anything else. Obviously, Gundogan's gone, but they're replacing with Kovacic, and then they're looking at Paqueta and various other things. Like, it's just scary. And then Haaland's getting older, but that's not in the sense he's getting old. He's getting more mature, so he's going to be better. He's already smashed in 2 goals yesterday. And he got told off by Pep at halftime.
That was funny. It was
quite hilarious to watch. I think he got confused with Nathan Redmond, who was playing on the other side. But, you know, that's how it was. But I'm not sure how. But yeah, we're just like, oh, I can't go over to Nathan again. I'm just going to go and speak. Oh, you'll do. Oh, scored 2 goals. I better push the camera away so they don't realise what I've done. Yeah, so City going to be dominant. Arsenal, I think they've improved the side. I mean, Rice, Timber, fantastic sign. I think Kai Havertz will be a really good sign as well, because they'll play him correctly and they'll know what to do with him. He'll have a little bit more freedom, I think, than he did at Chelsea, where they'll just go, oh, you can play attacking mid. No, you're going to play up front because we don't have any other strikers. You're going to play up front. Oh, well done. Well done. You scored the winning goal in the Champions League. We don't want you anymore. Honestly, the way they treated him was pretty horrible. I know he wasn't amazing, but somebody score a winning goal in the Champions League final, you kind of get a pretty good reputation out of that. I think United will get up there. I worry about United's defence still. I mean, I know you've got Varane and Martinez in there. If you lose Maguire, you've not really got backup to follow up with that. I think they need another defender to come in.
I like the list of potentials. That's what I'll tell you.
Yeah, there's a list of potentials. I mean, I'll go into a list of potentials shortly when I come to my own club. But yeah, and it's the same with the front line. Hoyland's he's got that one clip that everyone's seen. And that's what, like, that's what everyone's going, look how fast he is. I was like, yeah, but have you got anything? No, look how fast he is. Look how fast he goes. It's like, we'll see. We'll see. It's a lot of money. Same with Mason Mount. A lot of money there. Mason Mount, like, all right, he was similar at Chelsea, just kind of, oh, look, he's one of our own, but we don't want him. He wasn't treated very well. So it was a good window, I think, yeah. Onana, I can't wait for the one mistake he's going to make. He's guaranteed to do it.
Oh, he really is at some point.
He's going to come out. He's already been lobbed from halfway line. So we'll see. But yeah, they've done good transfers, I think, moving some of the people on. Fred is a bit of a shame he's gone. McTominay is a bit of a shame he might be going as well. As a Liverpool fan, it's a real shame that they're going from there. I think the other team's Liverpool, and I think we might push City because of that front line that we've got. We have 5 outstanding players up front now. Nunes, Gakpo, Diaz, Salah, and then obviously we've got Jota as well. We've got fantastic players behind them in Szoboszlai. Sorry, sausages. Love the way you sausages. Thank you, Tony. Szoboszlai and McAllister. It's just, yeah, that. Come back to me next week where we might have signed someone. It might be Caicedo, although that's going to be really awkward for him. So, oh, I've heard you didn't want to come here. Welcome. Like, reluctant armor on the shoulder. Lavia, maybe. Like, the thing is, the issue I've had all season, and like listed players, you've gone on about them. Liverpool have been listed with every midfielder that has a pulse this season. Like, Thuram, I was so excited about Thuram because you know how good he is in the... you knew how good he is in the network save that we've got and how good he is in FM. Kone was the other one that's been rumoured. And then it's just anybody, like I said, anybody's got a pulse who's a midfielder in Europe has been linked to Liverpool. But I think we're going to get there. I think we will be the ones pushing City, and then I think it'll be Arsenal and then United behind. But yeah, I think don't sleep on Villa. Don't sleep on Brighton. Don't sleep on Brentford even. Spurs as well. Spurs have made some good signings this summer. Granted, they lost Harry Kane. We've got to try and play Rick Allison up front. We can clip that for the end of the season if you want. But yeah, I think it's going to be very competitive around those Champions League places. And I've not mentioned one club, and there's a reason why I've not mentioned one club. But anyway, let's continue on, Rich. Your turn.
Oh, my turn. Thank you, fellas. I'm going to throw an absolute curveball in terms of league winners. I'm going to shock you all. Because I don't know who you mentioned as your league winner, but I fancy Man City for it this year, lads. Don't know why. I can't remember who you both said.
It's a madness.
You just can't look past them, can you? You just physically cannot look past them. They have had an excellent window. Like Jeb said, Gvardiol, just for the sake of signing him, is ridiculous. I was streaming last night and some people were updating me about the scores and how the game against Burnley was going. And then when Kovacic came on, I forgot they'd signed Kovacic, but it's a great signing. Like, he's a wonderful midfielder. Like, if you're going to lose Gundogan, Kovacic is an equally good replacement. And they got him for an absolute steal as well, comparatively. So they just look great. Haaland just does what Haaland does. Last night, apparently we now know that aliens exist. That's been the thing that's been speculated over, and there've been testimonies and all sorts in court. If aliens do exist, it's clearly Erling Haaland. He just popped down and thought, oh yeah, this game looks like fun. I'm just going to turn up if you're really, really good at it and make the human beings look silly. Yeah, you can't look past City, can you? You just cannot look past them. They are far, far too good. Now my second and third are movable. I think there's flexibility there, and it's going to depend entirely on what happens with the player that Jeb was just talking about quite a lot, Caicedo, because I've got in second and third place, I've got Liverpool and I've got Chelsea, but I think they move around depending on where Caicedo ends up going, because I think he improves both teams' midfields so, so much. I mean, obviously, Chelsea have lost everybody. Chelsea, realistically speaking, I mean, Chelsea, again, they've had a good transfer window. Have they had a completely above board transfer window? Who knows? It just feels like there's a lot of managers.
The real winners of this transfer window is FFP.
It just feels like suddenly there's a lot of managers in the Saudi league whose names in the database are like your first name, last name. Like, oh, we'll just chuck a manager in here and we'll get them to buy one of our players for £60 million. And then, oh, really weirdly, they've retired 3 days later after they've signed the contract. What are the chances? But on paper, the team looks really, really good. And the biggest thing about Chelsea for me is that I love Pochettino. I think Pochettino is a wonderful manager, and I think he's going to get a lot out of that team. Compared to where they were 6 months ago, where they just signed everybody and sold nobody. So it was a huge, huge squad. It didn't make any sense on paper. They just had all the attackers. They couldn't register half of them for the European Cup. It was a bit of a shambles. Now he's cleared out the players that he didn't want there. I think Chelsea are going to be a threat again this season. I can see it. Liverpool as well. I mean, you know, Jeb's waxed lyrical about them quite well. I think that midfield rebuild is wonderful. McAllister and Sausages with Caicedo behind them, that puts them second to the table for me. The front line is still terrifying. The front line is really, really scary at Liverpool. Even now, you know, they've got no Firmino. Obviously, Sadio Mane has been gone for over a year now. It's still terrifying, isn't it? And I know that somebody like Virgil van Dijk, by his standards, had a poor season last season. He's still a very, very, very good centre-back. So I think second place for me if they sign Caicedo, third place if they don't, and that's the opposite for Chelsea. And then in fourth place, Arsenal. I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were last season. They've had a very, very good window, and that's no disrespect to them. I think they played very, very well last season, but I think other teams around them didn't play as well. So I think with the transfer windows a lot of the bigger clubs have had this year, I can see them still doing very, very well. I would edge them above clubs like United, for example, just because, you know, I really rate a player like Declan Rice. I think Declan Rice is going to transform that midfield. I think they've signed, you know, Kai Havertz. As Jeb said, they're going to play Kai Havertz where Kai Havertz needs to be played. I think he's going to be great. Timber is a wonderful signing as well. I think so. He's going to firm them up defensively. Not that they were bad last season. For me, you know, somebody like Saliba was one of the best centre backs in world football last season. For me, Saliba was absolutely phenomenal. And if he carries on that form, I think they're going to be sitting pretty Champions League football again. I just see Liverpool and Chelsea edging them this season. I still love Kev's Villa pick in for fifth as well. I think that's wonderful. So they're going to be there snapping at the heels. I think that's the way I see it. Callum has also sent us his picks. Shall I read Callum's out now? He's just written Everton four times, so which is pretty weird. He hasn't actually. He's gone for City to win the league. Then he's appeased Kev by saying United to finish second, Arsenal in third, and then everyone's favourite club, Newcastle, in fourth place, which I disagree with wholeheartedly. But why not? Why not? That's what Callum has said, and we will see come the end of the season. Interestingly enough, I would say that Aston Villa have had the transfer window that you would have expected Newcastle to have, because the players they've bought in, considering the financial backing that Newcastle have, those are the players I would expect them to sign. You know, they've obviously bought in Tonali, who's a very, 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 very good midfielder.
Really wants to be there.
delighted when he arrived. Looked so happy to be there, didn't he? In those welcome videos. But the transfer window Villa have had, that's the window you would have expected a club with the backing like Newcastle to have as well, I suppose. Right, moving on. Opposite end of the table now then, fellas. Opposite end of the table. Kev, we will go back to you. I'd like your three clubs that you think are not going to survive the season and will be playing in the Championship this time next year.
As the nicest man in the FM community, can I only apologise at this point to any of these supporters out there that might get offended by this. But to be totally truthful, I think we're going to have some common ground here too. I think ultimately for me, the first team I'm going to put in the relegation zone, unfortunately, is Luton. Not because I don't think they're a great club. They've done amazingly well to get to the Premier League. I think if you'd have asked them at the beginning of last season if they thought they were going to get to the Prem, I don't think any of them would have said they would. And they did. So I'm impressed by that. But I just don't think they're quite good enough in terms of their quality of player through their squad. And I think they're going to struggle a little bit this season. So I'm going to put Luton down. For the other two, it's less about their stature and across the board in that sense. It's more about I just see a couple of clubs in a bit of chaos, if I'm totally honest. The other one is one of the other promoted clubs, should I say, in Sheffield United. I think we're all going to agree that they don't look as though they're ready for a Premier League season in a lot of ways. And I think they're going to struggle immensely. So ultimately, that's purely my reason for putting them down. And the other one, now, I think Burnley will survive. I don't think it will be by a lot, but I think they just about will. So I'm not going to put Burnley down as the other promoted side. I'm going to go with Wolves. I just think there's another club in chaos. They sacked their manager 3 days or parted company with their manager by mutual termination or whatever it is, about 2 or 3 days before the start of the Premier League season. Their recruitment has been pretty dreadful in a lot of ways. They've lost some of their class players. The likes of Neves has gone. Jimenez is gone, I believe. A couple of others as well. Connor Cody's gone. And I just don't think they've replaced them. They've got a new manager in. I respect him. I think he's a decent guy. I don't think he's going to be able to sort Wolves out in the next couple of weeks of the transfer market. And I think they're going to start badly. Those are my three.
It's fair. Fair points. Jeb, any variation in your picks? Oh, Jeb's muted.
Unbelievable. Sorry.
Jeb's back.
Because of the younger, obviously, people that are about 7 to 8 years younger than me running up and down the street making noise threatening me. You
know, he's 17 year olds, eh?
I know, he's crazy. Unbelievable. Yeah, so Sheffield United, well, that's Luton, they bought Ross Barkley in. Really about it of significance. I can't see anything there. I think the only thing that they have is that stadium that's going to be intimidating because you've got to go in the away end through somebody's house. You might get a cake. I don't know. Yeah, there could be a tea and biscuit racket going on there as well. You just have a nice cup of tea and biscuits as you go into the away end. Who knows? It might work quite nicely. Sheffield United, actually, I think, are going to go down. They are quite close to my heart because I worked with them for 5 years and was there for the initial Premier League season that they had in 15 years ago when I was 9 years old. And yeah, it's a shame because they've lost the two best players. I mean, it's Ndiaye. It was quite hilarious. I don't know if you saw about Ndiaye, his wife on Facebook Marketplace was advertising things to sell. Like, and some of the fans found it. It was great. Like, things that need it gone quickly. We're moving to France, and that's literally what she put. Just thought, well, that's just, I don't know if it's a fake account or not, but it's just brilliant if it was true. And they lost Sanderberg, who Sanderberg was being talked about by Man United, Liverpool. Mm. There was a few people interested in Sanderberg, and how he stayed there for an entire championship season. And then the day before the season starts, he goes, I'm off to Burnley now, and that's it. I'm like, that's got to be a massive blow for them. I know they brought in Haber and another Brazilian lad, but it's Bramall Lane's quite intimidating for people, but I don't think it'd be intimidating enough. And I think Heckenbottom, yeah, he might be in a bit of trouble. And last time, third time lucky, it's got to be third time lucky, Everton. When your biggest signing of the summer is Ashley Young, and Ashley Young is arguably the same age as me in reality. Not 24. We're being real here. But yeah, that's all they brought in. Okay, you've got Dyche there and he's going to be schooling them and they've got a few nice youngsters and stuff, but I don't think there's enough there. They need to sell to buy. Similar to Wolves as well, they need to sell to buy. They might be bringing in a new striker, but even so, I think it might be time for Everton to go.
There you go.
And it'd be strong great words. To see that lovely brand new stadium in the Championship.
Again, it would be just delicious irony. Brand new stadium and then visited by clubs like Sheffield Wednesday next season instead of, you know, the bigger teams in world football, well, Premier League football anyway. Lovely. I very weirdly, a shockingly similar first couple of picks from me. Luton. And I feel bad saying it. I think Luton have, in terms of the transfers Luton have made, Luton have built a very, very strong championship team for the Premier League. You know, it feels very much, in terms of their window, it feels that they're already preparing for another push at promotion next season in the Championship. I think it's, on paper, that's one of the best squads in the Championship. Premier League standard, maybe not so much. You know, they've bought, you know, Talith Chong. If you've been watching my Scandinavian save, you know that I love me some Talith Chong. Jeb, you've mentioned Ross Barkley. So at least they're guaranteed, you know, that's going to be one interesting match of the day where he scores from 35 yards and then gets sent off 5 minutes later. It's going to be like that. That's in and of itself makes the season interesting for me. Marvelous Nakamba, isn't it, from the Villa? I think he's a really, really solid central midfielder. I think he'll be fine. I can't see them staying up. I just don't see where the goals are going to come from with Luton. I think that's going to be their biggest thing. I don't see where they're going to be scoring. I think they'll set up defensively because, of course, that they'll have to. But I don't see them scoring a huge amount of goals, and that spells trouble. But like I say, away days at Luton are going to be a highlight for pretty much every Premier League club this season. And I think they're going to enjoy it. It's one of those things. Like, you wouldn't have bet this time last season on Luton getting promoted. So I think it's credit to them for being up there, but I can't see it lasting a huge amount of time. Sheffield United, weirdly enough, it's not a biased thing. It's not a biased thing at all.
Obviously not
a biased thing, but I just don't
not like Jeb with Everton either.
No, not in the slightest bit. Not in the slightest bit. And you've only put City to win the league because you're being kind. No, I just can't. Like I said, they've lost their two best players. They've replaced really poorly. Like this morning, they've confirmed they signed Gustavo Hammer from Coventry. Cool. Like, good for them. Like, sure. You absolutely have Sheffield United. You've absolutely made that transfer and more power to you. You've lost two best players and you've not replaced them. And even those two best players, you know, were they good enough to keep you in the league anyway? Probably not. So Sheffield United, I see them struggling enormously this season. And then my third team, I've gone for a bit of a curveball. One that, ironically, if we'd done this time last season, one that I probably would have put my hat in the ring for, and ended up with a big eggy face. Nottingham Forest, I think, are going to struggle this season. I don't think they were brilliant last season. And I think very much in the same way that if you look at a club like Newcastle, for example, who made it into the top four last season, I would make the argument Newcastle made the top four because other teams you would expect to be up there had bad seasons. Mm-hmm. And Newcastle overperformed. I think Nottingham Forest overperformed last season, but still didn't play brilliantly. And teams that you would have expected to do better, like a Southampton, for example, you know, chronically underperformed. So I think this season, I think that they're probably going to get a little bit more exposed, I suppose, is the nicest way of putting it. I don't think, again, still on paper, I don't think it's the strongest team. I think your clubs like Burnley are going to be absolutely fine. I mean, admittedly, they started last night. You know, they've lost 3-0 to Man City, but it's Man City at the end of the day, isn't it? I think Kompany's a fantastic manager, and I think that they'll be okay under him. I think Wolves will be okay. They'll just about manage it. I think Everton will be okay, but I think Forest will bear the brunt of teams who had worse seasons last year. I think they will bear the brunt of those teams kind of picking up a little bit this campaign. So that's where I see the bottom three ending. Callum, interestingly enough, has just written Everton three times for his relegated teams as well. He just keeps writing Everton. Actually, ironically, he's got an identical three picks to Kev. He's gone for Sheffield United, Luton, and also
unbelievable
stuff. Golden Boot. Let's do Golden Boot, which realistically speaking is actually going to be two different conversations, because should we get the first part out of the way? Anybody who doesn't think it's going to be Erling Haaland, just going to put it out there? Nope. For the audio listeners, that was just that silence means that no, everybody agrees. It's going to be Haaland. Weird alien goal scoring robot Erling Haaland is going to win the Golden Boot again, because of course he is. Which I think leads us on to the question. If Haaland wins the Golden Boot, which of course he's going to, realistically speaking, who finishes second in that conversation? Who would win it? Because we've all seen it on FM. You're like, right, who's finished as runner-up in the Golden Boot in the Premier League season, who, if Haaland wasn't there, would have comfortably won it? Because, you know, Haaland's on 45 goals in November. Somebody else has sat there on 10. You're like, oh, they've had a really good start. Who do you see up, Kev? Who do you think is going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season, just behind Erling Haaland in terms of goals scored?
To me, it's actually quite tricky to figure this out. I mean, up until the last 48 hours, you would have just said Harry Kane. If he stays at Tottenham, he's going to get it. Spoiler alert, he didn't stay at Tottenham. He's gone to Bayern Munich. He can't win it. So ultimately, he's out of the equation. My reason for thinking it's slightly challenging is, if you look at the striking positions of the other sort of typical, let's just look at the typical top six other than Man City that's usually there or thereabouts. Tottenham have lost their guy. I'm not totally convinced that Gabriel Jesus can last a whole season at Arsenal without an injury or two. And so that might reduce his down, although I think he did pretty well for them last season here and there. So I'm not totally sure whether he's going to be it. You look at Chelsea, and what have we got? We've got Nicholas Jackson is their new striker to come in this summer, isn't he? Is he going to be the person they put all of their eggs into for this particular season as their main goal getter or not? If he's not, who's it going to be? I think if you look at Liverpool, Jeb mentioned their top five strike force attacking midfielder type section that they've got, which is immensely talented. But who's going to be the consistent one? Is it going to be Nunes? I'm not sure I saw enough of Nunes last season to think that he will. Maybe he will. But I think they'll share the load too much. Maybe Salah is the one there, possibly. I mean, you look at Man United, we've got a very young goal scorer in Hoyland that we have no clue what he's going to get. We've got someone like Martial who just, I don't know what Martial does. So there's a possibility that maybe it'll be Rashford from United, possibly. And round and round you go a little bit. So it's a little bit of a challenging one. I'm going to go slightly left field out of all of those and go somewhere else. I think it might possibly be Isak. And I think that the only thing that's going to stop Newcastle being ultra competitive this time around is I think they might ship a few goals as well, but I think he might score some. So that's the one that I'm going for, because I think consistently he's going to play a lot for Newcastle this season. I'm just not sure that their defence is going to keep him out as much as they might like. But yeah, other than that, it's quite a tricky one. I guess a couple of you and maybe some others would potentially say Salah, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Jeb, is that where you're going with this? Is that where the thought process goes?
Yeah, I think you listed out those five. What's going to be the consistent thing? Salah's a consistent. Salah is the consistent in the league. He scores goals. He's greedy when he wants to be. He can lay it off as well. And he is actually getting better. Like, he is... he's maturing. I think he's over 30 now, or he's approaching 30. But it's been that consistent in Liverpool. He's always going to score goals. Obviously, he has penalties as well that he'll score, but it's just he'll cut in off that right wing. And now he's got a bit more freedom. He's got Trent potentially playing this number six role where he's feeding him. That's, he got a lot more goals that way. He's got all these other players around him. He's always going to be there. And I think that's the one thing. So we've got those five attacking options. Salah's always going to be the player on the right-hand side. It's not going to change, and I think that's where it'll be. You might have Nunes and Gakpo and Jota all rotating around the other positions, and Diaz as well, but Salah's always going to be on the right-hand side, and he doesn't get injured. He just scores goals when he wants him to, and he scores great goals as well. So I think it's quite simple. Salah's trying to think of other players. I think Tony hadn't been out betting and things like that, he could have been up there. I think Tony would be an ideal replacement for Kane at Tottenham, but it's unfortunately he's now out till January. But yeah, he had a good season last season. Other players, like I said, there's not that many other around. I think the other one might be even Alvarez, even for City as well. I don't know.
That's a shout.
Because he's scoring as well. Yeah, even looking at the other teams, I mean, Jackson, bit of an unknown quantity for me. Yeah, I'm kind of like ran out like Spurs. It's not going to be Rick Carlson.
Right. There we go. Yeah, that's it. Just get used to seeing the pigeon celebration this season, because, oh my goodness, oh, it's coming. Now, you are right, though. If there's one thing that, especially with the departure of Harry Kane now, with the exception of an Erling Haaland, when you think about kind of the top out-and-out strikers in European football, not a huge amount of them currently play in the Premier League. So goals, you know, goals are spread around elsewhere in the teams. I'm going to put all my eggs in the Heung-min Son basket. I think that we're going to see a little bit of, now that Kane has left Spurs, I think it's going to be a little bit like when Ronaldo left Madrid. And Benzema kind of took up that main goal. You know, Benzema kind of became the guy after kind of Ronaldo departed. I think that's what you're going to see from Son, because he's always scored. He has scored consistently. I mean, let's not forget he was, you know, joint Golden Boot winner two, three seasons ago, was it? He can score goals. He can play through the middle. Traditionally, he's always been out on kind of that left-hand side with Kane working through the middle. I think you're going to see this season, I think Richarlison's going to get lots of minutes. I think it's going to be Richarlison, Kulusevski, and then Son up front. And I think, even though, I mean, obviously it was Kane and Son, they're the most prolific partnership in Premier League history. Even without Kane playing alongside him, with a Kulusevski, who I think is absolutely wonderful. You know, I think Richarlison... if Richarlison hadn't cost £50-60 million for every club he's ever played for, if he cost a fraction, if he'd cost half that, he'd be lauded as one of the, you know, a really, really, really good Premier League player. I think it's the price tag that affects people's perception of Richarlison. But I think he'll have a role to play this season, and I think he's going to play it well. But I think that Son is going to thrive in that Spurs team. Not that Kane was holding him back by any exception, but he's now, his main focus is going to be scoring goals. He's not going to be looking at playing in Harry Kane. It's going to be those players playing in Heung-min Son. So I think that Son is going to have a great season. And I think he's going to be there or thereabouts come the end of it. Failing that, my curveball, just because of the form he hit towards the end of last season, Ollie Watkins. I think if Ollie Watkins stays fit this season, I think he's going to be up there. Because like with that team that Unai Emery has built, he is going to get service. And I think in terms of the strikers that are there, if you look at the other players that Emery has brought in, you know, he's bought in defenders, he's bought in wide players, he's bought in central midfielders. They haven't spent massively, unless I'm forgetting somebody massively important. I don't think they've spent huge amounts of money on strikers. So he likes Ollie Watkins. So Ollie Watkins will get minutes this season. And if he gets minutes, he's got the service coming in from behind him. He could be there or thereabouts come the end of it. Why not? Son or Ollie Watkins? Those are my shouts. I didn't ask Callum that question. So let's just say he's written Everton again. I'm sure. Let's just say he's written Everton. Everton are going to be second behind Haaland in
the
goal.
Ashley Young, I heard he said. So
Ashley Young. Yeah. Ashley, why not? Ashley Young. Young by name, young by nature. He's going to score loads and loads of goals. And it's all going to be great. It's all going to be absolutely fine. There we are. Right then, last question. Last question in these. Sad question. Sad question. Who is going to be the first manager on the chopping block? Now the season has started. Who is going to be first to go? Never nice. If there's one criticism, and I think there are lots of criticisms of high level football, but one of the worst for me is that there are managers who go long before their time. It's a managerial merry-go-round is what they like to say. But it's such a high-pressure role, such high-pressure situations. Never nice to see managers lose their jobs quickly, but if you had to make a prediction as who's going to be going early this year, Kev, we'll start with you again. Who can you see losing their job first this season?
So I've got a slightly weird take on this. Bear with me.
Sure.
Bear with me.
He's got to bear with him.
What if nobody gets sacked between now and the final whistle of the last game of the Premier League season?
It would be wonderful.
The reason that I say that is that, one, I'm the nicest guy in the community. I've got to play up to it, apparently. But it's not actually that. I know that somebody is likely to get sacked, and it could be in the next couple of weeks, and it'll all go wrong for somebody and you know, all that stuff. But what if it doesn't? What if you look at the Premier League and you see the likes of Arteta is safe in his job, Klopp is safe in his job, Pep is safe in his job, Ten Hag is safe in his job, Pochettino's new in, so is Ange Postecoglou. You've got Emery that's going to be safe, I think, no matter what Villa do, because they'll have a good season. I think Eddie Howe's got enough grace there to survive. Roy Hodgson has only just come in at Palace, for example. You've got the three promoted sides. You're not going to get rid of Kompany, I don't think, whatever happens to Burnley. I think that they'll respect him enough to go with him, whatever. I think the other two probably expect that they might go down. So why would they sack their manager if they've got a rebuild process that they're already part of for there? The one person I think who is probably in the most amount of danger and may well is probably Moyes at West Ham if they don't get off to a particularly good start. But what if they do? What if they start reasonably well? I don't think De Zerbi goes. I don't think the Brentford manager goes. Fulham did well with Silva last season. What if nobody does? What if they all roughly perform to how they're kind of expected to, and everybody goes, we're all right, we're happy enough, we've done what we expect, stick around. I know it's unlikely, but that's what I'm going for. Stick my neck out on the line. There you go.
So there you go. Nobody. I was not expecting it, but I like it. I like it a lot. Jeb, do you share those just obscenely cheerful sentiments?
Nobody does. Nobody in the world of football does. I don't even know whether I do, but it's worth playing up to it a bit and just asking the question.
Is anybody near Brighton? Can they go check on Kev? Because I don't think he's all right. It's far too nice on that one. Eddie Howe, I think they're in trouble now because they've set the bar now. Like, we can get Champions League football, and when they're languishing around in 10th, 11th, by Christmas. I think that might be it. I mean, they'll have a difficult Champions League group, and I don't think they've invested. I think we said about it earlier, they haven't invested very well. Tonali's come in, a great midfielder, but you've brought in Livramento. You've already got a right back in Trippier. Does Trippier now go to left back? I can't even think. Harvey Barnes comes in, so for a replacement, Sam Maximan. And Harvey Barnes is a very good Premier League player, but he's completely different to Sam Maximan. Sam Maximan ran with the ball, did all sorts of tricks, and got the ball in. Eventually, Harvey Barnes is a 1-2, plays a 1-2, and gets into the box. So I think they've not strengthened enough. I think the back line, they've got some good players, but I think it's still questionable there. And Eddie Howe, you know, I think it might be early doors for him. I think they might just push the button, and they want to bring these superstar players in. They want to probably bring a superstar manager in, and probably somebody horrible like Mourinho will end up in there by Christmas.
You know what? Again, you've hit the nail on the head there, isn't it? It's that old kind of, it's the exception versus the rule theory, isn't it? You know, we talked to that before, and I've talked about it in streaming before. I always like to use the Claudio Ranieri at Leicester situation. You know, like, wins a Premier League, like one of the most incredible achievements in modern sporting history. Just not even in football, just in sports. Incredible, absolutely incredible. But then suddenly the bar was set as success, and Leicester City were not a football club that were built to maintain that level of success. But suddenly those were the standards that Ranieri was being held to. So to lose his job the season after winning the Premier League with Leicester City was just, I will never understand that. I will never understand it. And I think that's going to be the case for Newcastle. I think they've finished in the top four. They've got Champions League football. That is now automatically the expectation. They don't have, again, on paper, in terms of those squads, there are, you know, 7, 8, maybe even 9 other clubs in the league who have similar, if not in a lot of cases, significantly better squads. So, and as you say, there were significant amounts of teams last season who underperformed as well, who this season are going to kick on and try and improve massively on what they accomplished last season. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that Eddie Howe is one of the first to go. I like the thought process there. I, again, at the risk of sounding like I'm being mean, I think Paul Heckingbottom at Sheffield United, awful transfer window. I think Sheffield United are going to ship goals this season, and I don't see them scoring a lot, but I also don't see them keeping a huge amount of clean sheets. And that kind of pressure is going to build. You know, we've compared Sheffield United to Luton already, in as much as Luton, by their standards, have had a really good transfer window. They've bought players that are going to stick around at that club. There's nobody that they have bought in who's going to be looking to move on immediately next season if and when they get relegated. You know, if you look at what's happened with Leeds United, look at the players that have arrived at Leeds in the last 18 months who have now left the club either permanently or on loan over the summer. Now they're in the Championship. Luton, I don't think there's a single player that Luton have signed that's going to want to leave if they get relegated this season. Sheffield United, well, they've not signed anybody who would want to leave anyway. So it's a moot point. But I think come, you know, Christmas kind of time, I don't see them being, if they're not bottom of the table, it's an achievement. I think the pressure's going to get a bit too much. You know, it's going to be one of those things, you know, that it's, I don't see him lasting. I don't see him lasting. I think he'll struggle for results. He'll continue to struggle for results. And then pressure. They're going to be, if you're playing in the Premier League, if you're losing games, everybody's aware that there's so much focus on you at that level of football, that I think it would be hard for them not to pull the trigger fairly early. And don't get me wrong, I don't think they'd get anybody significant. I don't think they would make a massive improvement if they brought a new manager in. You know, I don't think that Paul Heckingbottom's a bad manager. And I think that's important to emphasize here. I don't think that he's bad at his job by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that it's a very, very difficult league to get results in. I think they'll struggle to get results. And then being that team that are struggling, it's just that external pressure, isn't it? That's the way I see it going.
I think we've been reasonably harsh on Luton and Sheffield United. I think the one thing is, we everyone did the same to Bournemouth last season. Everyone said Bournemouth were going. I think Bournemouth even made the compilation of every single pundit going Bournemouth. They stayed up. It could happen again. There is an element of Luton and Sheffield. They have the unknown because people don't know who the players are, like the bigger teams and stuff like that. So they don't know how to play against them. They're not world famous player, but they have that teamwork and they have that mentality. So they could surprise things. But I think we are right in that they are probably going down. But there's been lots of surprises before. Blackpool, Hull, Bradford, people like that before. They've come up and everyone's gone, nah, they're going straight down and they survived. Or they started off amazingly and just basically limped over the finish line. So might happen again, but I don't know.
You never know. You never know. And, you are right. You know, we've all... You know, all four of us, including Callum, who is just checking. Nope, still trapped in the well. Which is weird because I wasn't even in a well. Why is he looking in wells? Yeah, what's he doing? We've all listed Sheffield United and Luton to go down, and they could surprise us. They could absolutely surprise us because teams, as you say, teams have done it in the past. But I don't know. I think for me, looking at last season's Premier League and looking at how many clubs underperformed, there are going to be a lot of teams out there who are going to be looking to, you know, massively improve on what they accomplished last season. Teams like an Everton, for example, you know, a full season under Sean Dyche now for Everton, I don't see them struggling as much as they have in the past. Competent manager, has a defined play style, knows what he wants from his players. I think clubs like Everton, who struggled tremendously last season, will give much better accounts of themselves this year at the expense of clubs like your Lutons and your Sheffield Uniteds. That's how I see it happening. That's where I see it coming from. Callum is thinking David Moyes. I know there's been a lot of rumblings from West Ham fans that, you know, not massively impressed with how the summer has gone. Very unimpressed with the transfer window, and they're looking at pressure there. I think at the time of recording this, the last thing that I saw in terms of their rumoured transfers, they were looking at getting deals for Harry Maguire and Scott McTominay done, which is a very, very David Moyes set of signings, isn't it? So we'll see. Maybe Harry Maguire comes in. Maybe this is the start of the Harry Maguire redemption arc in terms of people's opinions of him. And why not? And why not? Why wouldn't it be?
My favourite thing that I've seen is West Ham have had a very Brexit transfer window where they could be getting rid of Paqueta. Obviously, Declan Rice has gone and Scamacca's gone. The replacement with McTominay, Maguire. I can't remember the James Ward-Prowse. I mean, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So we shall see.
Exactly. That's it. There was... I feel awful. I can't remember his name, but there's a YouTuber who had a FM series on YouTube, and it was basically called Brexit FC, and it was West Ham, and he could only sign English players. So he just shipped out all of their like incredible kind of European and like South American talent, and he was just bringing in players like Ashley Barnes, and it was 4-4-2, long ball, Ollie Dixon. That was his name, yep. Ollie Dixon. He's the cousin of popular FIFA YouTuber Chris MD, who's apparently really good at free kicks. But yeah, he had a West Ham FM series, and it was great. He just sat there in a stringer with one of those big novelty St. George's Cross England hats on, and just signed players like Ashley Barnes, Ashley Young, made a lot of appearances there as well, just because they were English and he could afford them. So why not? Why not? A good old British rebuild by Moisey. Maybe it'll work fantastically. Maybe it won't. Who knows? I mean, to be fair, if he was selling Paqueta, you would want Scott McTominay coming in to replace him. Like, we all know that's true. We all know that's true. Everybody would. Everybody absolutely would. So there we go. Those are our predictions. That's what we think is going to happen. We'd also like to know yours. It's vitally important that you tell us yours. If you're watching this on YouTube, write it in the comments underneath this video. Your top four, your three relegation candidates, your Golden Boot winner, your runner-up in the Golden Boot, and also, you know, if unlike Kev, you think that somebody might get sacked this season, let us know who that is as well. Please do. We would like to know your opinions. And also, hold us accountable to what we've said today as well. So, you know, in 3 months' time, when Luton are sat sixth in the table, come back to us and say, Rich, you were really mean to Luton. You big, how dare you? How dare
just
you?
Just for Rich. Just go for Rich.
Yeah.
Just Rich. Me. Yeah. Just me. I think everybody else was actually dead nice
Rich,
about them.
Yeah, Rich has influenced all of our predictions. He's told us what's exactly. Even Kev's about Simone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As somebody who reads a lot of bedtime stories, I am sick of fairy tales. I want harsh reality. That's all I'm interested in.
Do you know what
in.
I want? I want someone to get sacked tomorrow.
Before Tuesday comes out. Yeah, totally.
Done.
Yeah.
Get Fair. Out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, perfect. Wouldn't that be a hot steaming cup of narrative? Exactly. Perfect. There we go. Lads. Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while. But
go on. You can do this.
I can, can't I? I can and I will. Lads, I don't know about the two of you, but I reckon that's probably a podcast.
Definitely was.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
Well, almost like as good that. As last week's.
Well, almost, you know. almost as good.
Although
as
to be fair, we've got Rich instead of Callum, some swings around about right.
dangerously competent. That's how I would describe the hosting of last week's podcast. Just dangerously competent. Oh, we're going to get back into that. Oh, who's going to replace Rich on the podcast? Oh, it's going to be Jeb, isn't it? Of course, it's going to be Jeb. ousted. Not at all. Not at all. Because I have the login for the Patreon.
Yeah, that so is there true. We go.
That's what's keeping me in a job. Fantastic. There we go. Lads, I've loved this morning. I've had a really, really nice time. It's been good to be back. Before we go, if our audience would like to catch either of you doing that content, what it is that you do, where can they find you doing so? Jeb, we'll start with you, pal.
twitch.tv/Jebaroo. The Jebaroo on other platforms, including TikTok, where I've started to just troll through some of my archives and find some of the stupid things that I've done, including looking for a beer while playing Euro Truck Simulator. And as I'm looking for said beer, I crash truck. Don't drink and drive, folks.
It wasn't even Euro Truck Simulator. Jeb actually used to be a long-distance driver, and that's why he's not allowed to drive cars anymore. Kev, what about you, my friend? Where could the people find you doing the wonderful things that you do?
You can find me at the United City FM on the couple of different platforms I'm on, but mostly I'm on Twitch every weekday afternoon, 3 till 5 p.m. UK time. Come and join us. Come and join the Italian Odyssey that I'm currently on.
Perfect.
What about you, Rich? Where can we find you doing all the lovely streams?
Oh, you can find me twitch.tv/RichOwensFM. I'm doing the Scandinavian Triple Crown save. And boy, oh boy, I think it's my turn for a save update next week. And my goodness, have I got one? Come and hang out with me. We have a lovely time doing the Scandinavian football more competently than some people would have expected. So please come and spend some time. It'd be lovely to have you here. Lads, this has been brilliant fun. I've had a lovely Saturday morning. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for coming to hang out with us. But just before we go, if you're watching this on YouTube, firstly, hello. Thank you. We appreciate you. At the time of recording, we are 7 follows away from having to record an a cappella version of the Football Manager Therapy theme tune. All 4 of us, a cappella. What a treat. Press the subscribe button. Press it right now. Go on. Do it.
It's just there.
And then it's under Jeb. Yeah. It's under Jeb.
It's just there.
It's easy. Just press the button. Press it. And then we have to do it. And it'd be great. And you'll enjoy it.
Tell a friend as well to go do it as well. Just
tell your friends. Yeah. And they tell 2 friends. And they tell 2 friends. Then they tell 2 friends. And nobody can do that maths. It's too complicated. But that's probably a million follows. 4
friends.
Why not? 4 friends. Yes. 4 friends. Probably a billion. We'll get a big Ruby play button in time for next week. Do that. We'd appreciate it. We appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. However you're consuming this podcast, we appreciate you enormously. That wraps up for another episode of Football Manager Therapy. We will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.